So when we ask ourselves that question, Heichan ani ba'olam, there are many reasons why we might not answer that honestly. Because when we come to his bardus, this part of his bardus of mishpat, when we come to his bardus, we ask ourselves, Heichan ani ba'olam, Rabbi Shalom, I'm here. And we could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, who are you? And we say, I want to talk to you about Heichan ani ba'olam. Where am I in my life? Where am I in the world? And one has to daven that that we should answer that question honestly, in an honest way. It's the same question we're talking about on the Erev Shabbos Chabura of Ayeka, the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam Rishon in Gan Eden, Ayeka. So we're asking ourselves, Heichan ani ba'olam, if the daven that Hashem should help us, that we should be able to answer this in an honest way. This bakasha, that Hashem should take us along the path of truth, which we see throughout Tehillim, with all of his greatness, and who is greater than David HaMelech, and with all of David HaMelech's greatness, he was always asking Hashem, he was always asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harein Hashem, Hashem, show me Dakecha, show me the path I want to know, and amitacha, and to know the true path. I want to be able to know the truth, and I want to be able to be open and to be honest and to be clear. So we have to always daven that we should be able to know, to find that derech emes, and to go along the derech emes. The problem is as follows: that when a person is determined to go along a certain path in life, it's a remarkable thing that Hashem does, and one of the confusing things in our lives that we see in a number of places in Tanakh. He brings one of them over here, that when a person wants something badly enough, and then he talks it into himself that what he's doing is the right thing, he will very often see siyata d'shmai. He sees that it's going well. He sees that it seems to him that he's being helped from above to continue along that path, which he's convinced himself is the truth, and it's what he should be doing at that time in his life. Although the truth is, the emes is, that that's not really what's right for him. And still he has siyata d'shmai. He feels that he's being helped from above. And this confirms the fact that things are going. He believes this is his true path, and he's davening for help, and Hashem seems to be helping him. So he comes to the conclusion that this is absolutely the greatest sign that my life is the path that I'm on is the right path. What we see from Tanakh, but that's not necessarily true. There is this klal, the Chazal revealed to us, that that when a person wants a certain way, and he's determined to go in that way, Hashem will bring him along in that way, even though it's not necessarily good for him at all. You want that badly enough, and you push for it badly enough. But Tzaddik speaks about this in a number of places, especially in Sukkos HaTzaddik. There, Rabbi Tzaddik is talking about how the Navi Yonah did not want to go to Nineveh, and he was running away. And he was at the port, and he missed the boat. He literally missed the boat. Not like, you know, he missed the boat. And it wasn't like they were going out every hour on the hour. He had to get away from Eretz Yisrael because the Nevuah was crushing him in Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to run away from Eretz Yisrael because you can't have Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to get away from this. So Yonah was running away. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him, even though he was running away from Hashem. He asked for help. And then an amazing thing happened. this great wind came and blew the ship back into port. So he was able to get onto the boat. And he saw that as a raya, that even though he's running away from Hashem, which couldn't be the Derech HaEmes, obviously this is some very, very deep thing that we don't understand completely, but he saw in that help that he was getting that there was Siyata Dishmaya, and therefore it must be that this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now in my life, to be running away from Hashem. So it's a strange thing. Rabbi Sadek explains over there that when a person wants something badly enough, then there is such a hanhag that Hashem has as part of the nisayin to find the truth in our lives, that there is such a nisayin that a person sees siyata deshmaya. It seems that because Baruch Hu is bringing him along that path that he wants to go on, but is not really the right one. But if you want something badly enough, you might get it. There's an expression like that, and that happens. It's not a raya that it's the true path. The fact that you seem to be getting a divine assistance along that path is not a raya. But the most obvious story like this in Tanakh is with Bilam. So he wanted to go with the Sari Balak, with Balak's Chavra. He wanted to go. It was not a good thing, but he wanted to go, and he asked Hashem, and Hashem said to him, "Kum lechitam, okay, go." Afa pisha bevadei l'ratz Hashem zbar sheilechem Sari Balak b'shvil l'kalal Yisrael. Even though obviously Hashem doesn't want Bilam to go and to curse Am Yisrael. And that's what the Gemara brings in Makkos. That he was an action, that this is what he believed is the right thing. And he wanted to do this. And he asked Hashem, and Hashem said, go. So a person can hear that without being a Navi. A person can look at the Hashgach of his life, and he could find all kinds of rayas, all kinds of proofs with how things are going, that this is a siman, this is a sign from Hashem, that he's doing the right thing, even though it could be totally wrong. So every moment of a person's life, he has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harini Hashem Dakecha, Ahalech Bamitecha, to go in your truth, not in what I imagine the truth to be at this moment, because I could be totally messed up. I think the truth is to run away from Eretz Yisrael, or the truth is to go into curse Am Yisrael. That could be totally wrong, and it could be obvious to everybody else that's watching this story unfolded. This is totally wrong, but this is what people call nowadays my truth. And when it's nothing to do with Metzius, but it's my truth. But there is this hanhag that Hashem has in the world, that if you're stubborn enough with your truth, you could very well see all kinds of hashgacha that's leading along the path of your truth, which is not the truth. It's not really the truth. You just think it's the truth. It's not. You're deluding yourself. But instead, the conversation that Bilam should have been having with Kadosh Baruch was not, are you okay with this? The conversation should have been, it's not about what I want. I'm asking Rabbi Shalom to take me along your path. I want to walk with your truth, not with what I believe is the truth. Not what I believe is the truth. Bill Mishra said, I believe is the truth. I'm a messed up person. I have all kinds of problems. I need to know what your truth is. And what your truth is, help me to find that and help me to walk along that path, even though it's hard for me, even though I don't feel it right now. I want to walk on your path. I want your truth, not my truth. Nowadays, every cheresh right of a cotton says, this is my truth, right? That's the lashon now that they say, this is my truth. So you could say, it could be the opposite of mitzvahs. This is what's going on now. You could say the opposite of mitzvahs. You say, this is not a table. My truth tells me that this is a mizbeach. But you look at it, even though tables compared to mizbeach, but the mind, so we're not in the business of making this a table. But a person could say, no, my truth is that it's a mizbeach. But my truth is that the dog is a cat. The cat is a dog. The cave is a dog. And this is what's going on now. That's my truth. So you can't even say about a person that's a he or a she, because that might not be his truth or her truth. So there is an objective truth. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's truth is. And we have to dive in all of our lives. Ahalech Hashem. Harin Hashem Tekech. Ahalech Ba'amitach. It's not about my truth. I want your truth. I want to go in that truth, the absolute truth. Aleph ba'amitach. Zakein levatlis v'tzayni b'fnei v'tzayni. Hashem, help me that I should be mevatel my rotzen. I should be mevatel before your rotzen. I want this to turn out a certain way. I want this to be a certain way. Because this is my truth. So I want my truth confirmed. And then the person like Bilam, or in the case of a very different person, in the case of Yonah, it seemed that the truth, that their truth was being confirmed by that Hagacha process. But that wasn't Hashem's truth. You have to daven Ahalech Ba'amitecha. And if he would have davened for that, then he would not have gone the curse on Yisrael. And therefore, even though we have the Shulchan Aruch Bo Hashem, and we have the Poskim, you know how many times someone will call me with a Shaila, and when they're asking the question, they already are trying to answer it. They just wanted me to confirm their answer. Everybody that's involved in Halacha knows that that's how it often goes. I'll have somebody calling me with a question, and I'm listening to the question, and He's already telling me the answer. He doesn't say it outright that this is the halacha. He's just sort of asking it in that direction and wants me to confirm, especially when it comes to the inyanim of kedusha, or regarding the status of a person's wife. When it comes to these shailas, he's already telling me mutaris. And if you come up with a different psak, then that could be very disappointing, or disappointment is okay, or you just might seek some other person who's more generous with halacha, whatever it might be. But very often this happens, that the person is asking to know what's the truth. Ostensibly, the person wants the call to know what the truth is. But in the question, you already hear the person saying, Rabbi, I want you to make sure that the truth comes out the way that I want. Make sure the truth comes out this way. But I just wanted to be able to know that I'm doing what's true. You want to do what's true, or you want to do what you want to do. What you want might not be the truth. And anytime that a person asks any shaila halacha, whether it's Hilchot Shabbos or any other question, or Pesach, whatever it might be, are you prepared for the consequences of you asking this question? It might not turn out the answer that you would like. And when a Jew humbly bows his head before HaKadosh Baruch to do what's right, that's being mevatel his ratzon before Hashem's ratzon, and that's the answer to the tefillah of Hareini Hashem Da'kecha Ahalech Ba'amitecha. Ahalech Ba'amitecha. I want your truth. I've mentioned over the years a number of times. I remember when we were still in the little house, there's one of the chaver that came to ask me a certain question in Chesha Mishpat that had to do with business. That was nogeya to he was not a wealthy person at all, and it had to do with $13,000 potentially losing $13,000, and the problem was that it was really an open and shut. If it would have been anything complicated, I'm not a maven, I'm not a book in Chesha Mishpat, and I would have sent it to a dayan to answer, but it was very open and shut. It was an open halach and shulchan aruch that he was asking about, And I felt so bad because he's not a well-to-do fellow. And he, you know, he had this potential deal, the situation, whatever. It came to $13,000. And so I took out the Shulchan Aruch and I spoke to him about it. And I showed him, we discussed it a little bit. And then his response to it was, so, fine. That was it. He said, I'll go take care of it right now. That was a lot of money for his family, for him. That was a lot of money. And I think back on that, and it wasn't a second's hesitation. He just said, that's the halach. That's the end of the story. So I tried, then I wanted to go into, you know, to give him chizik and everything. So he said, I'm okay. I was going to go into a whole thing. He'll get back twice the amount, you know, give him a lot of chizik. He said, I'm okay. Not necessary. Let me just go take care of it. That was the end of it. It's gewaldig. Person who wants Hashem's truth. Who wants the truth. So, b'chdei levar mahu be'emes rotzna Hashem. To be mevar mahu be'emes rotzna Hashem. We're going to see the next parak is coming up is going to be the union of emes la'amita. Not in the next parak, but in this parak, the next section is b'koshes emes la'amita. So what does that even mean, emes la'amita? Right? So they're madragas of emes. It either is or there isn't. But you remember, I've told also many times over the years when we spoke about, I think, a few months ago, when Reb Nosson Breslov was offered a big shtel. He was a huge guy, and he was offered a very big shtel, and he was so poor, and he had a lot of inyanim with Shalom Bayis because he didn't have regular work, because he was the whole time with Rabbi Nachman, and he was offered a position to be a rav in a big city, and he went to ask Rabbi Nachman. And you remember that he asked Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi, should I do this? And Rabbi Nachman was quiet for a few minutes, and he said, yes. And then then Rabbi Nosson said, Bamis, truthfully? Rabbi Nachman was quiet a little bit, and then he said, Bamis. And then Rabbi Nosson asked him, Rabbi, Bamis Lamita, the truth of truth? And Rabbi Nachman was quiet, and then he said, no. Is there a birurim that were going on? And obviously Rabbi Nachman wanted to bring Rabbi Nosson to that place of being Mavara, the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth. And the Rebbe was bringing his Talmud to that point, to that place. Other people, when Rabbi Nachman would have, first of all, they might not have even gone to ask. They would have just sent a letter to Sam here, I took the Stala. Or if they went to ask a question, by the time when Rabbi Nachman said it's okay, he would have been out the door. He would have been on his way. So, but Be'emes and Rabbi Nosson, Be'emes la'amita, to be Mavar of the Inyan, all Rabbi Nosson wanted and Rabbi Nachman brought him to that place was that nekuda of Ahalach ba'amitecha, Hashem's truth. Not his wife's truth, not Rabbi Nosson's truth, Hashem's truth, Ahalach ba'amitecha. And for this person has to daven a lot. Yes, the habas betfilo v'sachanunim oimak alev l'Hashem es baruch sheyizke liyos mevakish mechapis emes ad sheyizke l'leches b'derech emes. Daven a lot to be zeichet to go on the derech emes. Sheyaskim levatal ritzoni ha'atzmi. But a person that we have to ask Hashem, please help me, like the guy with the $13,000. Please help me that I should be zeichet to be mevater on what I want this to come, what I want the result to be. Hana oisav, one own personal hana, pleasure, or benefit. B'shar ha'davam ha'kedayim lo, or whatever it would be kedai. There's so many things, and to that question of hechen ani ba'olam, there are so many ways that one could answer that. There'd be more kedai than Hashem's truth. There'd just be more beneficial to him to answer it in a way that would make it a lot easier for him and not to have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'emes la'amita, Hashem. True. Tell me the truth. Help me to know what the truth is. Shad Dvar Mekdaim L'Hamayinim Mimed Alavetz Hashem Be'emes. There are many things that seem to be true and we think are true and it's called our truth or my truth, but they're not really true. And they're not going to bring you closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you could have a person that's very, he's in business most of the day. Well, the farmer gam is very vubishal home, because he's taking up a lot of his time. He could convince himself that this is what he should be doing with his life, spending the majority of the day in this business. He could talk it into himself that this is the Nesif Amos, this is the truth. It could be that as far as who he is and why Hashem created him to, what and what he's supposed to accomplish in his life, it could be that that's not the Ratzon Hashem, that he should be sitting with this stuff all day long in business. It could be that he should be spending just 2 or 3 hours in the morning or whatever, and he should be living the rest of the day. Or it could be the other way. It could be that a person is sitting in this Medrash and he's learning, but that might not be what he should be doing all day at that point in his life. He should be doing something else. And that's what he's needed for something else at the time in his life. And you have to ask Hashem's Baruch, even though you could say, what do you mean? It must be that this is the truth because I'm learning Torah. You have to ask Hashem. Ahalach ba'amitacha, what is it you want for me now in my life? What's your truth for me right now in my life? What's the Maitzei Pi Hashem? The Ishbitz Tzvarim, of course, are filled with this. It's one of the biggest Nakudis in all the Torah of Ishbitz and Radzin, which the other Tzvarim don't talk as much about openly, but in Radzin and Ishbitz is very, very strong that to live every minute to try to know what's the changing will of God at this moment in my life. The Maitzei Pi Hashem. The lechem is the didnitz befer shulchan aruch. So I know I'm not allowed to have. I know I'm not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. I know I'm not allowed to have bazer b'chalav. I know that I have to light Shabbos candles. I know that I can't move muktzah on Shabbos. I know that if it's clean, I can move it. I know these things. That's called lechem. That's called the bread of Yiddishkeit. But once Yiddishkeit is not just by bread alone, by that which is clear. It's called Maitzei Pi Hashem Yechiyahavim. What's coming out from Hashem's mouth right now in your life? That's what it means. Ahalach b'amitach. What's the truth that you want of me right now in my life? These are very often things that are so unclear when it comes to work or place to live or many other many. Every day we have things like this. We might not notice. We might not notice them. But every day there are these kind of questions. It's not clear in Shulchan Aruch. Or with a kid, the anhaga with a kid of how to deal with this child and so on and so forth. So these are things we don't have a Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear. It's Moitzei Pi Hashem. It's the Moitzei Pi Hashem. To hear what's coming out from Hashem's mouth at this moment in my life. That's called a halach b'mitach. To daven about it all the time. Because a lot of life is not something which is written out clearly. So you have people that for every single step that they take in life, they run to this rabbi, they ask that rabbi. And they could be asking a rabbi also, they could ask a rabbi that's a big talmid chacham, there's no shaychus to him in his life and what he might need in his life at that moment. That rabbi could be a very fine talmid chacham, but that might not be nogeh at all to where he is, where this person is right now in his life. So you have to daven all the time, ahalach b'amitach. It's not just about asking somebody's opinion. It's ahalach b'amitach. And you could, even the way that you ask the question, you could be, as I said before, you could be twisting in a certain way. And the Rav will hear it a certain way, and he'll say, okay, yes, that's what you should be. But that's not really the emes. Because you're going to ask somebody that doesn't even know the emes of your life, and you're asking a question. Well, not who you are, where you're holding your life. And you're presenting in a certain way. Then the Rav's not enough, he doesn't know. So he's answering according to what you're describing, but you might be describing it according to your truth, not the absolute truth. Therefore, this person, whether it's this business person, whatever, all of us have to ask and daven. Give a person that doesn't enter his mind that maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe this whole mahalach of my life is a wrong mahalach. It's the whole thing is could be that it's wrong. We see when it comes to this sugya of ahalach b'amitacha, the Rebbe Rabbeinu M'shus Yelena from Shischa, other tzaddikim Shnapis Medrash of Pshischa, because, you know, the Emes there was very, very, very big Yisod in Pshischa. Kotzke and Ishbis Vadzin, that's what we're talking about, that Bissa Medrash. And by those tzaddikim, anything that wasn't the absolute truth was chametz mamash. Was complete chametz. And when you look in the teachings of the Rebbe Abunu Pshischa, burning the chametz is burning sheker. As you see, it's an interesting thing that when it comes to sheker, the Torah says to stay far away from falsehood. Generally, when it comes to harchakas, those are midrabanan, right? Those are from the chachamim. Chachamim instituted many harchakas for us to keep us as gedarim, to keep us away from violating any isurim from the Torah. But when it comes to sheker, so the Rebbe Abunim and other tzaddikim there point out, there the Torah itself creates a gather. It says mitvah sheker tircha, to stay far away. You see the same thing when it comes to chametz. Even though the Mi'kah, Din Midaraisi, would say that chametz really from the Torah should just be forbidden on Pesach. Right? Chametz should be forbidden on Pesach. That means from the night of Tesvav. Chametz should be forbidden from sunset by Pesach. Chametz is also on Pesach. Yet we know that chametz is also Midaraisa by Chatzos. Chametz is already also Midaraisa by Erev Pesach, right? So you see that by chametz, there's already Hachokah. So in Pshischa they said, because chametz means dishonesty. Chametz means sheker. And when it comes to sheker, the Torah said, midvah sheker tircha. It's not enough. You have to run away. You have to make all kinds of hachakas and gedorim when it comes to sheker. So by chametz, they saw chametz as being sheker. So chametz is not just also on Pesach. There has to be midvah sheker tircha. You can't have chametz anymore. Because chametz is there's no psharis. Why are there no psharis? Because Hashem l'kim emes. And chayitz m'shal kadosh baruch hu was emes. The seal of Hashem is truth. Chayitz m'shal kadosh baruch hu emes. Breishis baruch l'kim, the last three letters, breishis baruch l'kim is emes. Ki chayitz m'shal kadosh baruch hu was emes. And therefore, chametz is sheker. And those tzaddikim, the Rebbe Abunim and other tzaddikim, especially, I'm saying in that basic medrash, but all the tzaddikim, when it comes to sheker, the Torah says, midrash sheker tircha. One has to, it's so confusing. When it comes to chametz, the chametz means piruim, crumbs, less than a kezayis. It's very confusing. You see, when it comes for this chipus ha'emes, looking for the truth, there's no time of the year that there's such a chippus like when it comes to Pesach, Erev Pesach. This time that we're in right now, looking for any possible crumbs of sheker in life. That's really what it is. Looking for any crumbs of sheker. The chippus, looking for the truth. That's what the search for chametz is looking for. Means looking for chametz, of course, but it means looking on a deep level, yetzar, but specifically for yetzar, means for any sheker in a person's life. Any sheker. And now you can go to the store, and you could, for a couple of dollars, probably by now it's already a lot of money, they'll already have a candle with a feather and a spoon and 10 little pieces already prepackaged. You can get that now, prepackaged, the 10 pieces. So it means somebody else's sheker. And the joke is you're spending like $10 to buy somebody else's chametz, Erev Pesach. You're buying somebody else's sheker. You don't have to buy. You have your own sheker. Why do you have to buy somebody else's sheker? You should be looking for your own sheker. You should be looking for your own chametz. Well, you're depending upon the guy that running the program in the hotel that you're in, that he's checking the chametz in the room, because you're paying so much money. I have to do B'dikas Chametz if I'm paying so much money. It's ridiculous. You're paying $80,000 for Pesach. You have to check the Chametz also. It probably comes with, I don't know how it works with hotels. I have somebody that checks the Chametz for you, or not, they send a Spanish person around with a candle. I don't know what they do. But you have to check your own Chametz. I don't know, you have to burn your Chametz. I'm not sure how it works in a hotel, Baruch Hashem. I never went to one, and Hashem should keep us all healthy and well. Should I ever go to one? So the looking at the chippus that we're now in right now, that we're looking for any crumbs of falsehood in our lives, any crumbs of shaker. If a person's bemis looking for the truth, bemis, and is asking Hashem halach b'mitach, then the answer he'll get for this whole inyan is that Hashem's truth never, ever, ever meant the truth of Pesach, that people should go away and have Pesach vacations. He meant for Jews to clean for Pesach and to be in their own place. That's the truth of Hashem. It's a halach b'mitach. But they're not calling to ask these shailos. But that's a halach b'mitach. Hashem's work never intended. You didn't think I was going to let you go like that. So even though now at this point it's ready for found, the people that are signed up. And I understand that some people have no choice for chulei. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about when people are still Bali Bechir. There must be at least two or three that are still Bali Bechir. So those people are Bali Bechir. And you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, honestly, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Do you want me to spend 2 weeks before Pesach cleaning and shopping and scrubbing and looking and or do you want me to spend 2 weeks going online looking for the vacation spots near the destination that we're going to? How could anybody come up with an answer other than A, not B? Halach b'amitach. Not to stop to say a lot of people do it. It's easier for my family. I get to see all my relatives. Halach b'amitach. All kinds of cheshbonos that a person can have. But Halach b'amitach, on Hashem's truth, Hashem intended Pesach not to be a vacation. It was never ever written anywhere that there's chofesh. It was written chipus, same letters, not chofesh. Erev Pesach is time for chipus, not chofesh. That's what it means to be free. It's free to be free of the sheker. That's where he left Mitzrayim. Not to indulge in more sheker and to pay $80,000 for the sheker that you're fasting on. That wasn't the intention of Pesach. There's no such thing as a Pesach vacation. It was never ever presented by Hashem as a Pesach vacation. That's not what Chavis means, and that's not, Chal wasn't a vacation. Hashem wanted us to be Mais and Nefesh, and to Schwitz, and to be on our knees, to be Mevatel our Rotzen to his Rotzen. That's what it means, a Halach b'amitach. That's what Hashem wanted from us. If you want the truth. Do you want the truth? And how disabling it is when you find that all kinds of Rabbanim, all kinds of wonderful Rabbanim, and even Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael, that they go to Chutz La'aretz for Pesach, to go to different programs. And I don't mean to be critical of any individual person, because I don't look to see who the people are doing it. But they're disabled. How could they say the truth that we're discussing right now if they themselves are participating in this sheker? And how are they supposed to talk to the Balabatra about the truth? You understand that after Maisha happened with Clinton, he couldn't talk about family values. You understand? What kind of drasha can Clinton give about family values? What's he supposed to say? So if you yourself are running around going to hotels because you're going to teach Torah in the hotel, so if you yourself are running to a hotel, so how are you supposed to tell the truth to the people who are supposed to be learning from you? Go to the hotel. Go one day to the hotel. And before the Seder, they gather everybody around in the lobby and say, Chevra, everybody should go home. Because the emes of Hashem is that he never intended we should be spending our Pesach hanging around in lobbies waiting for meals. That wasn't the intention of HaKadosh Baruch. But the rabbis are themselves disabled because they have to go there for whatever reason to teach Torah. So that a person has to daven his whole life. Ahalach b'amitach. A halach b'amitach, to keep your truth. The farmer hanidon eno ha'im hutzarech lasik l'parnasa also allocates them hechen yavi eslachmo. There are all kinds of questions that come up. But let's say a person gets an offer to work someplace, but it's a terrible place for him to go. It's going to mess up his life. It's going to ruin his marriage. But it could help a lot with the parnasa. These are questions that it's not clear in Shulchan Aruch. Could be you're going to a place that could be very, very bad for you, for your whole life, could ruin your life. Could be that you'll be in a work environment that's horrible when it comes to Inyanim of Kedusha, when it comes to living a life of Kedusha, Shmir Zainayim, and so on. Vavgarumikach, it could be terrible. So the answer could, sometimes a person has no choice, he has to go to this place, but that you have to mevara the Inyan in the right way. A person loses his entire Yiddishkeit if he's working in the place with it. It can't be that Hashem is about to want you to run away from him. So we could be guilty just like Yonah and Bilam. So the person could say, I'm not comparing Yonah to Bilam, I'm just this is what we're learning. But a person could say, like Yonah, a person could say, should I take this job? And Hashem says, yeah, go ahead, take it. You could use the pronosa. It's a good job. Take the pronosa. You have this. You understand, if you're very, very honest, that whole place that you're going to work could be that it's not entirely honest people that are there. It could be that there are other things that are very, very terrible. So you're asking Hashem, do you think I should run away from you? And as absurd as it sounds, like for Yonah to ask, you think I should run away from you? We do that too. You think I should take this job? Hashem's saying, sure, go ahead. And if you would ask, but this job that I'm going to take could potentially bring me very far away from you. That's the difference between us and Reb Nosson. So Reb Nosson said, Be'emes. He kept up with Be'emes. Really? Truthfully? Is this right for me? Truthfully, is this right for me? Is this the right thing? It's hard. This is very hard. This is one of the hardest things in life. We're talking about now. It's very, very hard. It could be there are dishonest things going on in that business. Vakribis, interest, whatever. All kinds of chayshmish problems could be going on at that office that you already know about. Not that you found that afterwards. That's something else. You got yourself into this. And you said, I'm not going to Vileata. I'm going to learn. I'm not going to move the candle on Shabbat. So you could be deluding yourself. Now, sometimes you're stuck in a situation and you can't leave that place for different reasons that have to do with Penasa, with the family being able to survive. So it's Tzorach Laharbis B'Tfil also. If the Davin Lata Hashem, Neisha'ach Shav HaShavu HaChayit Shashon HaZui HaMelchama HaYihadus. Because right now, this week or today, you're fighting over your Yiddishkeit, the future of your Yiddishkeit, of who you are as a person. And your whole existence as a person, as a Jew, as a wife, as a husband, your whole existence could be at stake. So you have to daven and ask Hashem for help. I don't know what to do here. I'm in this bad situation. What do? I want to do the right thing. You have to daven a lot for that. So this is the way to come to his bodies, with this honesty of ahalach b'amitecha, of wanting Hashem's truth. Not what I think is the truth, but wanting Hashem's truth. And talking about it and asking for help. So daven very strong that those things at work that look questionable, that look forbidden, that there should be a biru that you should be able to clarify. To learn the halachas first, a person should learn the halachas. Sometimes you're afraid to look up something because why should I look this up? If I look this up, I'm going to get into trouble. I don't want to look this up. Or you say ask a shayla. Why should I ask a shayla? If I ask a shayla, I'm probably going to get a bad answer. So I'm not. I don't want to get that answer. So I'm not going to ask the shayla. So a person has to be prepared to ask the shayla honestly and to be prepared for the consequences that could turn out the way that would be easier if you could turn out the way that it's harder for you. But to ask the question in an honest way, to want to know what the truth is for me at this point in my life, what's the truth? Could be when a person's heart is not on fire like a tzaddik, on fire with love for Hashem, it's not on fire with Yiras Shamayim, with Yiras Hashem. You might not see this as a problem at all, that even that I even have to ask a shayla. You might not think you have to even ask a shayla at all. Not even ask a shayla. I've had situations where there were families that they went on vacations, whether it's Pesach or another thing that they call a vacation, and they have the yeshiva bacher who just came back from Eretz Yisrael after a year or two, coming on this vacation, and they have tainus against their son. How come he's not sitting with us at the pool? It's family time, family vacation, Passover vacation. How come he's not sitting together with us at the pool? And the bacher would like to say, it's also for me to sit at the pool, because it's not just men over here. There are women here, and they're not dressed properly. I would love to go somewhere. I'm not allowed to stay over here. How many times I've heard this kind of a thing? And the parents are Shomer Shabbos. And they paid for the kid to go to yeshiva for a year or two. And they make the kid feel bad. And they made a vacation in a place where the kid should go sit by a swimming pool where he's not allowed to sit. And instead, the kid has to spend the whole week sitting in a room someplace. And they don't feel like they were bad parents. They feel like they're the greatest parents in the world. We took our kids on a $100,000 vacation. The kid was locked in the room. He said, that was your choice. That was your choice. What do you mean? Who told you to be such a fanatic? I give them, I don't know. Is there anything fanatic about it? You show me what says, I'm allowed to sit by the pool like this? I'm not allowed to sit by the pool. Who told you to be such a fanatic? We gave you a $100,000 vacation. You sat in the room. That's your fault. We'll send you up the food. And that's it. It's your fault. It's the whole thing is shaker. And there people are Shomer Mitzvahs, Shomer Shabbos, holding a sheker. Did you ever stop and ask a shayla? I'm not going to go ask a shayla. Go ask the Rav, are we allowed to go sit Pesach or any other time of the year? Are we allowed to go make swimming and sit by a pool with the men and women sitting together? Are we allowed to do this? I'm not going to ask a shayla like that. Why would they ask such a shayla? You know what the answer is? The answer is going to be no, unless yes, you find some rabbi that maybe if you pay him, he'll say yes. I don't know. Otherwise, any respectable person can tell you, no, you can't do that. In other words, my son is right. Yep. You're not allowed to sit by the pool? Nope. Well, I guess I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I have to go to some place where they have two pools. It's not the... We're talking about Emes and Shaker. So all kinds of negis that a person has. Therefore, we have to ask Hashem all the time, Ahalach b'amitach, Hareini Hashem tekach, Ahalach b'amitach. Not my truth, your truth. What's the truth? Bamis. B'amitach. If a person doesn't have your Shemaim, he might not feel that this is b'chalal a question. Like these people might not feel there's even a shayla. Not because they're afraid to ask. It's not even a shayla. It's nothing to ask. Of course it's okay. And then they might say something like, I know I myself saw the rabbi herself goes to such a, you know, whatever. It's not even a shayla. It's not even a shayla. Ain't lo hagosh, yesh is a baya, I not even feel that there's a problem over here. See, if one person, he's crying his heart out, he's davening, I don't know if I should take this job, because if I'm going to be in that office, it could be the end of my Yiddishkeit, it could be the end of my marriage. And you have and in the same office, you could have 10 guys walking around and they're making a minyan for mincha. And so, who's right? So they might say, the guys at minyan, at mincha might say, what's the matter with you? We're all fine. They might not be. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's onto something. Maybe they're wrong. And maybe that's affected their Yiras Shamayim. They're being in that office. And maybe they're learning, they're davening, their union with their wives, and is not the same as it should be. It's not what it should be because their Kedusha has been very, very much damaged by the environment that they're in. So maybe the guys that are making the minion are wrong, and maybe the guy that's not the minion is right. Could be. It's worth looking into. It's worth being Mavar, the truth. It's very, very hard to be in such a place. You have to be in a place that's mamish, an emistic place, like to be able to make these birur. I knew a person in Queens where I used to daven many years ago. It was a very, very, very elchid. He's not in the world anymore. He's a very elchid person. And he used to run out to work right after Minyan. He had a job in the city. And then one day he was, after he put his tefillin, thousand tefillin away, he sat down with the Gemara and I asked him, everything okay, what's doing? He said, I'm done. I'm not going back to that place. So he told him. He said, there's something that happened there. There was an Indian and the woman that came to flirt with him. He said, I decided I'm finished. So I asked him, so what are you going to do? He said, right now, I'm going to learn the Daf Yomi. As far as what's going to be in the future, I don't know yet. But I'm not going back to that place to finish. Hell if you. 99% of people would say, a lot of other people would say, no, you know, we can work this out with them. It's like, I'm done. And he's working there for many years. That's it's not for me anymore. It's a madrega. They're going to madrega. These are things that a person has to be prepared to talk about. It's a big part of his bogus, of mishpat. To ask Hashem, help me to be honest with you. Help me to talk about my life in an honest way. And I want to know your truth. Not my truth. I want to know your truth. So you have sometimes a person will say, I have to work out this halacha. I have to ask a shaila about how I should get over this inyan, that it shouldn't be yichud with the secretary, because sometimes after hours, it might be yichud, right? Because I have to stay in the office late, and she has to stay in the office late. And you can mevara that there's no problem of yichud. However, that was arranged because of the whatever, with the office, that there's technicalities, that it's possible to work out the issue of yichud, but that doesn't mean that you're allowed to flirt with the person, right? You didn't ask that, Shai. But the main thing is, you're not oivan yichud. There can be all kinds of ways of deluding ourselves. All these self-delusions. So you got past the shaila of yichud, but you're alone in the office with somebody, and what if you attracted that person? And what if that person's likes to talk to you a little bit about personal things? You know, oivan yichud, because he has the shaila. But ba'amitecha, ba'emes, amita, what are you doing over there? What are you doing talking at 8 o'clock at night with somebody about their inyanim? What are you doing? I'm not even yichud because they're upset. There are cameras, whatever, closed circuit cameras, doors unlocked, rishus harabim, it's lit up outside, workers are in the hallway, can come in any moment. There's no issue of yichud, but it's not the amis. But it's not true. You're not being truthful. You know that there's a problem. You're not being truthful. I want to be in that place of your truth. I want to be in that place of your truth. The top of Rav Tzadik Beis in this one. The fact that you don't feel this is a problem doesn't exempt you from finding out what's the truth and to ask and to know really what's the truth. If you already are, you know there's something here that's not 100%. You have to mivara this, whether it's for you and whether that's what Hashem wants you at that moment in life. That's why when it comes to looking for chametz, it's becharim b'stakim. Look into all the cracks. You see, there's something strange about chametz. When it comes to sheker, when it comes to chametz, when it comes to yitzhar, becharim and the stakim or la abos, to go with a candle, yofel abdika, to look into every single crack. For what? Why can't you just be mevata believe by you? You just be mevata the chametz is finished. You see that Chazal wanted us to look, chipus, to search, to try to be honest and to be people that are searching for the truth, are searching to find anything that's not true. That's the Ratzon Hashem. It's Mezgala on Pesach. The whole Masechta begins that way. It's the whole Yontiv, that's the whole, it's the Nekuda Pnimis of this Yontiv. We don't have such a thing by anything else. That, like with Chometz and Pesach. Because we're looking for the truth. The Emes, L'Amito, Halach, Amitacha, to look for Hashem's work's truth. All right. We're going to continue Bez Hashem. If the Yontiv, hope I didn't make anybody upset or anything like that. And if I did, then I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but maybe you should think about it anyway. Everybody should have a freilich and lichtig in the yontiv v'chakosh v'sameach.